I don't know. They always say, you know, if you have trouble speaking, to tell a joke, but it never helps me. So I actually kind of feel like I shouldn't even be given this because all you guys here love me. So, but this is what the Lord has for me. But if I could title this, I would title it Without Love. And I did speak a little bit on this at the men's dinner, but this is different. So, Ty, you can stay. Joe and Hagen, take a nap if you want. But there's this old country blues singer, and he sings this song called Without Love. And he says he gets asked to sing it a lot at weddings, and he says, I don't know why, because the name of the song is Without Love. But really, the song is about a man and a woman, and they're just totally opposite. And so the gist of the song is that without love, they're wasting time. And I thought it was a cute little song, but it did get me thinking about this. So, but first, we're going to establish God's love here. And in Romans 3:10, 11, and 12, it says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Now, that's about as opposite from God as we can get. But Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And I think about this often, how love loved the unlovely. And I was unlovely. So we know that God is not without love. It's proven in the above verses. It's, you know, God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So this part of without love is speaking of the saints, of us. And we had, really, I had no love for God. I knew about him. I was worried about going to hell. I sure didn't know how to love him. And in 1 John 4, 9, and 10, it says, and this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And so, we who were without love, couldn't love. Because of this, 1 John 4:19 says, we love him because he first loved us. And I didn't know love without his love. I couldn't love. And so, we're going to go to, I'm sure you guys probably know already, 1 Corinthians 13, I'll read verses 1 through 3. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, and have not charity or love, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity or love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Pastor did mention this morning. He's saying how these people, men, can have these wonderful gifts for the ministry and the gifts of the ministry of the body, and have not love. And so I'm thinking that this is what the Lord wanted me to talk about. Now, without love is spoken three times in these verses. And he's speaking of all the spiritual gifts of chapter 12. And I wanted to bring out this sounding brass is a loud, in the Strong's, it means a loud or confusing noise. And the tinkling cymbals means to wail, W-A-I-L, to clang, vociferate, and I had to look this up, shout, complain, argue loudly. I was reading a commentary, and I thought this was interesting. It said that the cymbals depict the clashing of cymbals that announce the onset of battle. And I thought that really goes good with this. Without love, there's going to be a war. But we look at this, and I'm so thankful the tongues messages we get here are given with love. And even so often, you know, the person giving it, the Lord says, I love you. And I have heard tongues messages that weren't given in love, and I know they didn't glorify God, but that's what this is talking about. That's a noise. It's confusing. It's a call to war. And then it says, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And it took me a minute to think, you know. I said, well, how can people have all this and not have love? But there's a lot of people that do. You know, a lot of the Pentecostal churches that speak in tongues and have prophecies, they're legal. If you're legal, you don't have love. And then it says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. And I thought of that verse that says even the plowing of the wicked is abomination to God. And I was talking to my boss one time. I have a problem in my body, and we were talking about the things the doctors wanted to do. And I told him, I said, well, I'm going to trust the Lord for this. And he says, well, I know you have the faith for that. And he said, I have my faith in other things, and his other things are, you know, being a nice owner of a company and doing nice things for people. And, you know, and he does. He's a great owner. I mean, he does a lot of good things for us. But it profits him nothing. In 1 John 4:11, it says, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Okay, I'm hoping I'm not getting my pages mixed up here. I'm going to go ahead and read the rest of this. It says, charity, this is in 1 Corinthians 13, it says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Amen. Love beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. I'm going to go over, if you notice in here, there are eight negatives and eight positives. So I'm going to go over the negatives more, since we're talking about without love, and then we'll go over the positives. But love envieth not. And envy is a terrible thing. James 3:16 says, "For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work." And think about Joseph's brothers. They were jealous. They envied the love that his father had. And look at what they did to him, you know. And then that envy didn't stop there with all the things that they did to him. But think of the sorrow it brought to his father's heart. And that's why in the Song of Solomon it says that jealousy is as cruel as the grave. I mean, I just wonder how much sorrow, you know, that brought to that poor man. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. And in other words, love doesn't say, "Look at me and what I've done." It doesn't brag about things. You know, how many good things? That's what the owner of my company was doing. He was bragging on all the good things. You know, "Well, look what I do. Look what I've done." It isn't boastful or proud. And, you know, if we're humble and, you know, we let God take care of that, we'll get the praise, you know, but let it come from Him. And Proverbs 27:2 says, "Let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth, a stranger, and not thine own lips." You know, our lives are testimonies. People see what's going on. We don't have to brag about it and, you know, point to ourselves. And then it says in James 4:10, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up." So He's going to take care of all that. Love doth not behave itself unseemly. This is kind of a tough one, because I believe from studying out the words that it's speaking of apparel. And that word unseemly means indecent. And, you know, we do want to dress modestly, I guess, and I hope this doesn't get me in trouble. I'm not telling people how to dress or not to wear makeup. I'm not being legal at all, but you want to have a little respect, an attitude about the house of the Lord and even with other saints. You don't want to be a distraction. But let's turn to 1 Peter 3. Now, this is what Peter says, and I'm not getting on anybody, because I love it when people dress nice and put on makeup and look good, you know, they're looking good for Jesus and everything. But Peter does say, "Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. And again, I think this has to do with, you know, you don't come in here for people to look at you, you know. You come in here with that ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, you know. You want them to see Jesus in you. Okay, so if anybody's mad at me, let me know. I'm really not getting on people. Love seeketh not her own. It's not about what's in it for me. Although, there's a lot of good things in it for us. I love what Pastor says, you know, about how he kind of was spoiled and didn't have to do anything, but once he got married, you know, fell in love and got married, he was willing to do anything. You know, it wasn't about him. I sometimes wonder, maybe that's why I never got married. Maybe I thought it was all about me. I don't know. But most of my relationships were like a metaphor for a nuclear bomb. So, so I'm thankful. I thank the Lord that I'm single. I'm okay. Philippians 2:4. I thought I had my stickers all set up here, but, you know, those are just helps for me. I got a new Bible, so I'm still breaking it in. So I try to mark things out pretty good. Okay, so Philippians 2:4 says, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." Now, that doesn't mean you're butting into his business. Doesn't mean you're coveting what he has. It means that you're concerned about him. Maybe he needs encouragement, a little help or whatever. But, you know, you want to be concerned about the brethren. I'm thankful. And I'm not bragging on myself because the Lord put on my heart, but I couldn't get a hold of anybody to go visit because Webb and I and Kevin go visit people. And the Lord put on my heart to go over there and help Chloe with that move. But I felt that she needed encouragement. But, you know, I was also encouraging her bringing those three kids to church every Sunday. And I wanted her to know that I appreciated that. And that's what this is talking about, you know. You do what you can for people. Help them out. You know, it's not about what they can do for you. I was also thinking about this morning what our pastor was talking about, the bowels of mercies. Okay, we'll move on a little bit here. Love is not easily provoked. Now, it can be provoked, but it's not easily provoked. I found this out a few weeks ago. I thought I was doing pretty good about being patient about something, and, well, one day I got a little angry. But Ecclesiastes 7:9 says, "Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools." And we do sometimes get angry, but the Bible does say to be angry and sin not. And also in Proverbs 15:18, it says, "A wrathful man stir up of strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife." So we know sometimes we'll get provoked about things, a little angry, a little upset, but I'm so thankful that love is not easily provoked. Love thinketh no evil. Romans 12:21 says, "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." A lot of times somebody might do us wrong. We might want to get back at them. That's not the right thing to do. Love will overcome that. I think also sometimes we don't forget things. You know, we tend to not forget maybe past hurts or even, you know, past sins or whatever, you know, guilt, whatever it is. But what's the Word of God said? It says forgetting those things that are behind. I press on. We don't want to think about those things. All of that really is evil. And if you'll bear with me a little bit, I have a, well, it's not a real long scripture, but Philippians 4:8, and this is the things we should think on. It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. That's the stuff that love thinks on. Okay, we're getting there. Love rejoices not in iniquity. And, you know, there's so much stuff going on these days. You know, we have the teachings in the schools, you know, the stuff the government's doing. You got all the you know, America's heroes or whatever they are. I don't watch a lot of TV, so I don't know what these shows are called anymore, you know, but you know, they have all these idols and all these things, you know, love doesn't rejoice in those things. There's I think of the Beatles, you know, they that was my time, you know. And you know, started listening to music. It was pretty innocent at first. You know, pretty soon then they got into drugs. Well, then I was into drugs, and, you know, it just went on and on. And it took love to deliver me from that stuff. But Psalms 1:1-2 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And we're in the world, but not of it. And we don't have to rejoice in these things. We don't have to rejoice when somebody gets theirs, you know. I feel sorry for people when they get theirs sometimes. I had a boss one time, and he was making fun of me because I was a Christian. We're walking out the door, and he took a step on the ice and slipped and fell, and I didn't rejoice in that. I felt bad for him, but I was also praying that the Lord was dealing with him. So, but, you know, we don't rejoice in those kinds of things. Okay, so those are the things that love doesn't do, and I'm going to try to get through this pretty quick. These are the things that love does do, and I'm going back there. Not that I, it might confuse me trying to read through that again, but I do have them written down. This is what love does. Love suffereth long. Let patience have her perfect work. And, you know, there might be that one you're praying for a long time. There might be that one you're dealing with a long time. Kids, I know there's precious saints here, and their kids are out doing whatever. But, you know, they're suffering. They're praying for them. They're believing God for them. And, you know, then there's those with the bodily afflictions, you know. I have some. I've had for 20, 30 years, you know. My feet are bad. Well, you know, I don't get up and scold them in the morning. I just suffer. And I thank God that I have them and I can still get around. I don't want to cut them off. But, you know, God's faithful in that. And I know he could heal them when he wanted to. Love is kind. Ephesians 4:32, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I hope we're kind of getting the thing here, you know. God forgives us. We should forgive others. And love rejoices in the truth. And I thought of that precious message this morning, and I thought, well, we don't need to come back tonight. That's enough for a whole week. You know, I was rejoicing in that. But see, that's what love does. You hear the truth and you hear this, and it you just can't help it. Love beareth all things. And, of course, we're told to bear ye one another's burdens. We do have trials, things like that. And it's love that helps us to bear those things, you know, to get through them. Love believeth all things. Now, it doesn't believe that lie you're telling about your brother. It believes the all things in here. Sometimes you gotta look at what you're talking about. Love hopeth all things. And there's really one hope for us, and that's the hope of Jesus coming. And it's love, you know, loving him, his love, and loving him that keeps that hope. And it's not a, you know, well, I hope he comes, hope so hope. It's a no so hope. It's a sure hope. It's something that makes believing and bearing all things and suffering long worth it. And then love endureth all things. And I think I was thinking of a lot of the soldiers in World War II, and I'm not really a buff, but I like World War II. My dad was in it, Vietnam. But I read that book, Band of Brothers, and if you read in the back, they have a lot of things in there. But they said that a lot of those soldiers weren't fighting really for this country. They were fighting to get home to their loved ones. And they endured that. And I also watched that Letters from Iwo Jima. And they said in the beginning of that the difference between the American soldiers and the Japanese soldiers was the American soldiers had a hope of going home. The Japanese soldiers, they had to die. That was their duty, was to die. And it was, you know, an insult if they didn't. But it was love that causes to endure those things. And then I like this too. Love never fails. And I think of the times I've failed, but his love never failed. And I'm just so thankful. I don't think I want to go any further. I had a few other things, but as I was kind of working on this, I was struggling and getting up and going, why can't I get this, Lord? And he kind of changed my thinking on it. So I think I'm going to end with that. But I did want to say that without love, we're wasting time. And I guess I will say this, though. We have two sets of eight, the number of the bride. If you add that together, it adds up to 16, which is love. So I hope it's been a blessing. Hope I didn't stammer and stumble too much, but I appreciate y'all listening. I love y'all, and really, I thank the Lord that you all love me. We'll go ahead and dismiss.